Before I read our text from the book of Acts today, I want to take a few moments of some pastoral privilege and just share some things that I think are important to share with you all as a church family today. First, I want to thank the Vacation Bible School volunteers who made Vacation Bible School happen last week here at White Memorial. That is a huge production in the life of our church. Lots and lots of people, lots and lots of moving parts. Lots and lots of children, lots and lots of adults, lots and lots of youth, lots and lots and lots and lots and lots. So if you were part of that, if you prayed over it, if you contributed something, volunteered, brought snacks, thank you. Also, would call the congregation today. You'll hear Ann do this in a few moments to pray for Gloria Johnson. Gloria is having a pretty significant medical procedure tomorrow, and I just ask you to uplift her in prayer. She has kept pretty mum about this. I know some of you know because you were close with Gloria, and she has shared this with you previously, but please do keep Gloria and her family in your prayers. We expect her to make a full recovery in the coming weeks, but do keep her in your prayers. Pertaining to pastors in the life of our church, I'm sad to share with you that I learned late last evening of the death of Haywood Holderness, who was the final interim before I arrived here not quite 11 years ago. So 11 summers ago, he was standing in this pulpit, probably on this very Sunday in June, preaching here at White Memorial. Longtime member of this presbytery, longtime pastor, over 30 years or nearly 30 years at Westminster Presbyterian in Durham, North Carolina. Please keep Mary, his wife, Penn, and Dale, his sons, in your prayers and days to come, and their families. And lastly, my own personal way of saying that I thank God for my father every day. My wife's father, too. We are extraordinarily blessed by two great men who have given much to both of us. So happy Father's Day to you all. That goes even if you are someone for whom Father's Day is difficult, for whatever reason. Like we say, maybe dad's not with you this year, or father is ill, or maybe it's your first Father's Day alone. You know, your family's out of town, or whatever the circumstance. God bless you this Father's Day, wherever you are on that spectrum, and whatever it is that you carry with you into worship this day. With that, I ask that the Lord blesses us as we hear this reading from the New Testament. From the book of Acts, I ask that God blesses us as we share the word proclaimed this day through the preaching ministry of this church. So from Acts 16, we begin at verse 25. Hear these words from the New Testament. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for the lights, and rushing in, he fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up to the house, and he set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. These words from Acts 16, along with Psalm 40, are by the Holy Spirit the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, find acceptance in God, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Yesterday, early in the afternoon, I returned from Johnson County, Tennessee. It's a very different place than Johnston County, North Carolina. Johnson County, Tennessee is in the extreme northeast corner of Tennessee. It's that little part that's wedged between North Carolina and Virginia. And I was there spending a week with our high school youth, our church staff, and some adult volunteers working for Appalachian Service Project. Appalachian Service Project has been around for 50 years, and White Memorial has participated in it for the last 30 years and more. It's a way of doing youth mission, where the youth from churches from all over the country go to Appalachia, helping people there make their homes safer, drier, and warmer. I think I've been now 4 or 5 times with White Memorial, and as I stand before you, you can hear it in my voice. I'm tired. My legs are sore. My left foot is throbbing right now, literally throbbing. My back hurts because I slept on a gym floor for 6 nights. I'm not as young as I once was. But even though you can hear it in my voice, and even though my back hurts, you know what, y'all? I'm happy. My soul is light. It's so very light. How can that be? The body is sore, but the soul is light. How does that work? What is it about mission that makes us feel closer to God, lighter, and more spiritually alive, more spiritually aware when the job is completed and we have returned home? Well, I think mission has something to do with making our souls lighter, because it all begins with the deep intentional practice of faith. When you set out on a mission, whether it's across the street or to the northeast corner of Tennessee, we put the call of Jesus to love our neighbors into tangible action. When we are on mission, we are intentionally focused upon the needs of others. We put what someone else needs before our own comfort. When we focus on mission like that, right, we begin and end each day in prayer. We have part of each day being devoted to worship. There on that mission, we gave part of each day to singing songs together. You see, when you're away, when you get out of your own life and you devote yourself to other people, when we're on mission like that, we become hyper-focused on the presence of the Holy Spirit. We become hyper-focused upon the calling of God. We become hyper-focused upon what it is that God wants us to do, because we have eliminated the myriad of distractions that crowds our day-to-day lives, and it allows us to focus upon Jesus and his call and his message. Now, like I was doing in Johnson County last week with our youth, we find Apostle Paul today in Acts 16 on a mission. He has arrived in the great, and I do mean great, Greek city of Philippi, and he is intent upon preaching the gospels and helping others there. Right before where I started reading today, he has just cast a demon out of a girl who's a slave, and he set her free. Set her free from demonic possession and free from her life of slavery in a way. And what happens to him? What happens when he goes to Philippi for this mission? Well, it gets him arrested by the Romans. And he finds himself in a Roman jail. But what does he do there? Well, that was our text for today. He keeps praying. He keeps singing. He keeps his mission alive, even though he's behind bars. In other words, even though all seems lost, he and his companions have not stopped trusting God. Now, in the end of our story, they are released from the prison through this miraculous, incredible earthquake. It's an amazing intervention. But the first point I would make is that when all the odds were against them, Paul and his companions trusted in God and kept practicing their faith. They kept believing that God would somehow make them whole, give them a chance to continue their mission. They kept trusting even when all seemed lost behind the bars of a jail cell. That's a connection, I think, to our ministry at Appalachian Service Project last week. No, we weren't in a jail cell. No, sleeping on a gym floor, even though it's difficult, is nowhere near an equivalent. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that adults and youth from this church and others went to East Tennessee to serve. And there's a lot of trust in that. We trusted God that we would arrive safely and return safely. We trusted God that the staff there would have a safe place for us to sleep and meals for us to eat. The homeowners trusted that churches would actually show up, that we would come, That if they signed an agreement that we would come to help make their home safer for the wet summers and the cold winter in the high mountains. I mean, they trusted God. Imagine this, having enough trust in God and in other people that you would allow teenagers, supervised teenagers, mind you, but teenagers nonetheless, to repair your home. How many of y'all would do that? Anybody interested? That could be a good youth fundraiser, couldn't it? We'll come build something at your house. Christopher and the White Memorial Youth. I don't think many of us would do that, but they do. They do. Part of it is necessity. No one else is coming to help them. But the trust is there nonetheless. With faith in God, they choose to trust in our mission to love God, love neighbor. It has to be equal to the trust which has been placed in us that we are going to show up on time to do the work that we have been charged to do, to share the love of God as it flows through them, through us, and into them, even if the job is hard, seems much bigger than what a pastor and a bunch of kids can do. Even if the odds are long that we're going to be able to complete the work well, the work that is at hand. What does this require? Well, it requires some trust, like I said, and it also requires some patience. Some of the homeowners wait months or years before a group shows up to help. Why? Because the demand is much greater than the resource. More homes to repair than all the churches in the land could repair. I think the patience required is a connection to Psalm 40, which begins, "I waited patiently for the Lord." The psalmist says, "I'm stuck in the clay. I'm bogged down. My feet are trapped. God lifted me up," the psalmist says, "and put my feet upon a rock and put a new word, a new song in my mouth." But before the new song gets put in the psalmist's mouth, he says he waited patiently for the Lord. Oftentimes, the test of faith is first, a test of patience. But we in the church, we people of faith, we Christian folks, we people who follow Jesus, we believe that patience is worth it because we believe that God shows up. Sometimes with miracles, like the miracle we read about in Acts 16. Sometimes God shows up through the hands and feet of disciples who come from near and far to offer a helping hand and a loving spirit. With Appalachian Service Project, that's a van full of teenagers with hammers and screws and wood and shovels and stuff. Here in Raleigh, it might be your neighbor across the street coming to help in your moment of need. And sometimes God shows up when it's all falling apart. And what God gives us then is the confidence and the ability, the energy to start picking up the pieces. Yeah, we believe God shows up. We do. My group worked at the home of a man named Dean. Dean is a widower. He lives alone. If you think Tennessee Mountain Man was Dean, that's who he is. And that's what he wants to be. He's lived along the roadside of a holler in Tennessee his whole life. Same place. Spends all of his days in his shed and in his garden, tending the land where his ancestor lived, where his ancestors have lived, and his grandchildren are currently growing up. And when I say that he is miles away from gas or groceries or any other creature comfort that we would take for granted here in Raleigh, North Carolina, I'm not exaggerating. It's miles, miles and miles and miles. It's really, really rural. Zero cell signal for miles around. Nothing. He waited a while for us. He did. Took him a long time to make up his mind to let outsiders come in to help him, to help repair his home. And he wasn't too sure about us when we first arrived, but we worked hard. We did. And we listened to his stories. We heard his voice. We gave credence to his witness, to his perspectives on life and the world. He saw us praying together each morning as we gathered in front of his house before we started working. He heard us laughing. Soon he started to join in, and he noticed that we were doing the best job that we could. It was nice when he would give us a thumbs up every now and then. On the third or fourth morning, this hardscrabble mountain man said something to me I'll never forget. He said, "I am so thankful you're here." I didn't believe anymore that there were this many good people left in the world. Wow, huh? And I said to him, "Well, Dean, I believe God is making good people all the time." And he said, "Well, maybe I reckon so." Not quite convinced, but like in the process. In the process. That's a good word from a man in a holler in rural Tennessee, a man who had waited patiently, a man who was not sure how God was going to show up, maybe wasn't even sure if God could show up. In a way, I think that's a little bit like the Apostle Paul, fully present where he is, keeping faith that help will come, waiting patiently for the Lord to intervene. In the case of Paul, it was a miracle of an earthquake. In the case of families in Tennessee, it's the hands and feet of 10 or so teenagers and 4 adults who show up in vans to help. And in our way, with lots of fists and starts, I think our little group helped confirm his hope in the Lord. We earned his trust, a reminder that God can take the simple and help it become profound. Earlier this spring, the pastors here at White Memorial chose a summer preaching topic. It's loosely called God's Word of Hope and Healing. And that's what we're going to talk about most of the summer. Today is the first Sunday for this sermon series, and in the time of worship this summer, we'll think about all the things God's people need to be healed from. Right? Out there, so much anxiety, so much mental exhaustion, so much mental and social fatigue because of all the things COVID, high-profile acts of violence, deep fear about guns, too much anger in the body politic and the media and everywhere else in between, so many hurting families. Hope, healing in the midst of all the chaos, the hurricanes of our times, the mental ones, the spiritual ones, the emotional ones. Our conviction in offering this is that just like for Paul and his entourage, God will show up. God will help us to find healing and hope. Patience may be required. I'd say patience will be required. But wholeness is allowed. Wholeness and hope. That's what God is offering. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's spiritual. And sometimes it's physical. But we offer our needs to God. And we patiently wait to see how God might help us in our moments of need. God's word, as exemplified in Jesus and recorded in the Bible, is resolute about the faithfulness of the Lord. But here's the thing, we've got to do our part. You know, sometimes we do all those hymns, right? We have all these songs about being lost and found, right? And sometimes to be found, you have to want to be found. So we have to do our part to experience it and receive it, becoming partners in our own experience of hopefulness. Now note this in our text from Acts today. Paul and his companions, they don't go running off. They don't go running off when the jail collapses around them like characters in a jailbreak movie. No, instead they're present. They show some grace and love to the ones that had jailed them. They shout out from the rubble of their destroyed jail cell, "No, don't harm yourself. We are all here." They're fully present, still engaged in the mission that God has given them. God has made them whole, healed their situation by releasing them from jail, and yet they don't run. They stay the course. They continue the mission, baptizing the whole household of the very man that jailed them. They waited patiently. They are fully present. And their mission continues. Like their mission, our mission reminds us of the fruits and faith of service. It reminds us of the hopefulness of God. Such a mission is intentional. An intentional time with God and serving neighbors in equal parts. It is equal parts helping the neighbors and discovery of the self. When you go out on mission like that, whether it's to Appalachia or whether it's somewhere here in Raleigh, new friendships are forged, new skills are learned, new testimony is shared, new disciples are created, all with the reminder that if God can do it for others, then God can yet do it for us. If God can make others whole, God can make us whole. If God's disciples can touch the heart of a Roman jailer, then God can touch any heart with the grace of wholeness and hopefulness. Such a claim was true in Acts 16, and it can be true today. So what happens to our faith, to our lives? What happens to our church when we are fully present, completely invested, the way it said in Acts 16, when we are all here, available, present, to see and sense the Holy Spirit? We are our most effective, I think, when we are discerning the presence of God. Each one of us showing up for the work of ministry, and each of us joining others so that we are all in the work together. Oh, you don't need me to tell you that out there's a lot of despair. There is. But what would happen if all people of faith spoke God's word of hopefulness into that despair? What if we took the despair of the world on as our mission? What if we said to, we are here, fully present, up for the challenges that are arising? I mean, the Bible suggests to us that the possibilities of that kind of project are nearly limitless. And I think that's good news for today. But to do that requires some faith. It requires some trust. As we dug through the Tennessee mud to set that 10-foot by 6-foot deck on the back of Mr. Dean's house so he would have a safe way in and out, we hit a lot of rocks. If you're looking for rocks, I can tell you where they are. They're in Johnson County, Tennessee. A lot of rocks out there. And each new rock shook our confidence. Sometimes they were pebbles, right? But you know, when you hit a pebble in the soil with a shovel tip, it clangs. And you don't know how big it is. And sometimes those rocks were 20 or 30 pound mini boulders that took 30 minutes to dig around, or dig out, and get out of the hole. And here's the thing, they didn't go away. From the first strike to the last strike of the shovel, we found rocks. On Tuesday, it felt like we would never dig them all out. In fact, I think the urge to quit was powerful. But more powerful than quitting was the urge to the mission. We are all here. That's what we said. We are in this together. We are vested. Rallied we did to complete the task. 6 poles set in the ground. A porch deck practically completed by the day that we left. And we weren't paid a dime, a nickel, or a penny. No. Instead, we were retaught and we relearned the lessons of mission and patience and trust. We relearned the power of witness and faith. Then the reward was in sharing our lives with Mr. Dean and learning about his life. Because sharing faith with other people encourages them to share theirs with you. Testimony begets testimony. And as such, it was a gift to receive and share it. When we are all here, when we are vested in our faith, the road to wholeness, to hopefulness, it's closer and more attainable. It's closer and more attainable than we can imagine. So may we, each of us, share our faith and our lives with others. And in sharing, may we receive the liberating word of God, the spiritual healing of the Holy Spirit, and the hopefulness and wholeness which only Jesus Christ can and does provide. Thanks be to God, friends. Thanks be to God indeed. Amen. May you go out in peace to serve the Lord and those around you. May you go out in the name of love, that your hearts might be moved in compassion for the needs of the world around you. And may you go out this day in joy, joy that we might feel the lifting of the Spirit in all that we think and say and do, that our lives might be a blessing as we have been blessed by the God of goodness who loves and claims each and every one of us. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may you each be blessed until we meet again. Amen.